In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Two men went up to the temple to pray, but only one of those men receives the good word from God at the end of the parable. One of them is exalted, the one who humbled himself. What I want to focus on today, as we now in earnest, with the beginning of the opening up of the Lenten hymns in the book of the Triodion, where we've now heard the first of the preparatory day hymns for Great and Holy Lent, we begin that with the publican and the Pharisee. What I want to focus on is that there are two ways of praying, but there's really only one way of petitioning the Lord. Two men went up to the temple to pray. This parable juxtaposes, sets side by side, the doing of what is right and being filled with pride in yourself, and praying only to seek mercy and humility as a repentance for the deeds that you have committed. The main point of this parable is to remove a form of pride, a kind of wily form of pride, as many of them are, but a particular form, one that St. Theophylact defines as self-love, the love of oneself. And that, of course, is the so-called prayer of the Pharisee. That kind of pride is the kind where you count all that you have or all that you are as having been obtained by yourself. This pride, this form of pride, this self-love is always linked to condemning others. You can't really have this sort of prideful self-love and focus without thinking of yourself as above others and begin to condemn them. This kind of self-love leaves no room for mercy, and it blinds us to the reality of our own reliance upon God for everything. So the man that prays with self-love is the Pharisee. He adopts a high-minded attitude and lacks humility. You could say that he is an imposter and a spiritually blind man. When our Lord begins to describe the Pharisee who goes up to the temple to pray, he uses a very curious, what's in the Greek is a very curious tense. I won't bore you with the title, but it implies that he has an ostentatious attitude. You could read this as saying that he assumed a stance, sort of like an actor in a Shakespearean play. He gets up on his stage and he begins to say the words that he wants to say. The Pharisee, in other words, is not actually praying. He's not actually putting himself before the Lord in petition. He's only seeming to pray. He's only seeming to be a righteous man. His petitions are really just self-congratulatory compliments to himself. And our Lord sums that up with his own words by saying, he prayed thus with himself. He's just talking to himself. The Pharisee is described by Blessed Theophylact in this way. And he describes that self-love that he had defined that we talked about earlier, that pride. He gives this grave warning. He says, when a man ascribes his accomplishments to himself and not to God, this is nothing less than a denial of God and an opposition to him. Therefore, like an enemy to an enemy, the Lord opposes this passion, which is opposed to him, as through this parable, he promises to heal that passion. He directs this parable toward those who trust in themselves and who do not attribute everything to God, and who, as a result, they despise others. Everything we've just talked about, this is what St. Theophylact is laying the ground for. He shows, our Lord shows, that when righteousness, that when righteousness, which is a marvelous thing in every aspect, sets a man close to God, when it takes pride as its companion. So when righteousness is tied to pride, in other words, that casts a man into the lowest depths and makes demonic what would be godlike just a short time before. So when a man has this sort of self-congratulatory, self-love, the self-focus in his pride, and he counts all the things as his own effort, this is what I can do, I don't really need God other than as a prop for this play, he sees only the good works of himself. He sees only his own tithe, his own fasting. These are the good things that the Pharisees did. They fasted twice a week. They gave of their money to the temple and to the people. But they count this so-called righteousness almost as if God doesn't count in the part of it. And because of this, the Pharisee judges everyone else as below himself. He is above them because he has kept all the exterior religious elements well, maybe even close to perfectly. Therefore, he can't see the person that is in front of him. He only sees the passion or the sin that may be consuming the person in front of them. He can't see his own pride, and that blocks him from having real prayer, a beneficial fasting, and a beneficial tithe. So our Lord describes this person, but then he describes the publican, or the tax collector. And he too stands in the temple, but he doesn't stand in the same way. He isn't assuming a stance. He stands there not willing to lift his eyes up to heaven. He doesn't even think that he is worthy of looking up to God. This man lives the biblical wisdom that is contained in at least all through the Old Testament, but especially summed up in the Proverbs and the Psalms with these two verses. Proverbs 18 says that a righteous man accuses himself at the beginning of his speech. And the Psalms in Psalm 31 says that mine iniquity have I acknowledged, and my sin have I not hid. I said I will confess mine iniquities before the Lord against myself. And then there is this promise in the Psalms. And thou forgavest the ungodliness of my heart. The step that the publican understood, that the Pharisee did not, is that we need to condemn ourselves, to show and not hide any of our sins before God. That's the attitude that we need to have. Everything about drawing close to God is in the acknowledgement of our failures, the acknowledgement of our sins. So the tax collector, he's not assuming a stance. He's standing rather in the reality of his own state. He knows that he is in need of the mercy of God when he stands in the presence of God. He stands knowing of his need for God and counts nothing of himself as making him worthy. St. Cyril of Alexandria, looking at the tax collector, notes that he stands afar off. Not only does he not look up to God, but he stands knowing that he is far from God. Smitten by the reproaches of his own conscience, he is even afraid of being seen by God, for he deemed himself as one who had been careless of his laws and led an unchaste and dissolute life. He accuses his own depravity by this external matter, standing afar off and not gazing up. He feels shame for his conduct. He is afraid of his judge. He smites his breast and confesses his offenses. He shows his malady to the physician, and he prays that the physician may have mercy on him. That is who we are to emulate this day. The tax collector's attitude is the Christian attitude. Our Lord gives us this parable to show that there's nothing that we can do that can replace seeking the mercy of God. That is the whole of the Christian life. This is the whole of the work of great and holy Lent that we are approaching. To know that we need the mercy of God. Yes, we fast. Yes, we give. Yes, we need to have some of those things that the Pharisees were good at having. But if we have those without knowing that we need the mercy of God, they're useless. So our Lord gives us this parable that we can know that the exteriors of what we can call a spiritual life, they may be proper and beneficial, but what matters is knowing that the reality that we need the mercy of God. Prayer, fasting, tithing, when they're driven by that self-loving pride, it's useless for our salvation. It devolves into self-congratulatory talk, idle talk that we say in the prayer of St. Ephrem. It turns fasting into just a diet. And the siphoning off of our funds, not for our salvation. When we have that attitude, it cannot allow us to approach and have communion with God. The soul has already lifted itself up by its own small stature. But if we have the humility of the publican when we pray, when we fast, when we tithe, and even when we fail in those efforts, and we're all going to fail in some way or another, if you get through the whole of Great and Holy Lent and say, I had a great fast, you failed. And you should recognize that you failed. But when we have the humility of the publican, how much higher will the Lord lift us up by his mercy? To the heights of heaven, in his forgiveness, he will lift us up. So emulate the publican in your spirit, that we may strive to have a true spiritual life, one that draws us close to God. So this fasting-free week that we're on the cusp of, to remind us that these things aren't what save us. We rejoice that when we are humble, it's God that saves us, not the lack of food or any other ascetic practice that we may have, lack of sleep, giving up this or that, whatever. None of those things by itself can save us. But having the humble attitude and knowing that we need the mercy of God and we petition God for that. Only when the petition to the Lord in the reality of the need of his mercy, that will save us. So let us make our constant prayer the prayer that we hear from the lips of the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen.